gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and he is your undisputed champion who is currently eating some pudding.
I've got a mouthful of pudding.
Mr. Ben Taylor.
So I do want to tell this story following on from last week, 2 weeks ago's Power Ranger rant. So I spent the better part of this most recent Sunday watching Gosai Sentai Dairanger, the Japanese equivalent to season 2 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, where you had the ninja, what became the Ninja Zords, right?
Yep. No, the Thunder Zords.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how you also got the White Ranger.
Yeah. I had no idea that Sentai was a much more adult show. Like, there's people getting their throats punched out, and it's just like, what?
So if you actually watch the Sentai that might, the first season's based off of,
which is the season before that, I believe.
Yeah, Zooranger. Or as Ed likes to correct me, it's apparently Jew Ranger, as in Jew, J-E-W, Ranger. There's I think it's like one of the first episodes where you have this, like, I guess grandson of his grandparents having like dinner or something. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden a bunch of putties just crash into the house. They like ring the doorbell.
Like they
open the door villain. And they just come in the house. I'm like, what?
They've got this one villain in Dairanger called Jin. And he's this old, like, and he's not old. He's like a middle-aged dude who's like a badass martial arts guy. He keeps beating up the guy who's the red Dairanger. And turns out he got like a robot hand. And then these other people turn him into this. It's just, I'm like, yes, this is how Power Rangers should be. Even the child in this is slightly less annoying than Justin.
And hey, guess where they got their idea to use a kid as a Power Ranger?
Well, at least the kid in that one had a decent haircut. Jordan says, call me when a ranger takes a baddie to Suplex City. I'm fairly sure there's been some suplexes. Not like, but definitely a German or two across.
So wait, did Jordan message you in the chat?
He's talking in the Twitch chat, yeah.
It's not showing up for me for whatever reason.
Well, he did.
Oh.
It's right there. And speaking of, hey, Jordan, how about you get off your butt and retweet on the 321 account?
Make yourself useful, man.
Yeah, dude.
What's up with this? So, news and notes.
There's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah. We should just let everyone know we're actually not going to do fantasy booking.
Yeah.
Because there's so much we're talking about already.
There'll be no fantasy booking this week. There's going to be news and notes and other general wrestling stuff. Then there'll be NXT. Are we doing predictions first or results first?
We're going to do results first, and then predictions.
All right. So you've got results for two shows and predictions for two shows. So, yeah.
I'm going to be crying in the fetal position, aren't I?
Well, there's going to be no fantasy booking, so I'm not going to beat you that bad.
So, obviously, we'll get to NXT on USA in a moment, because that's obviously the big one.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what news and notes do you have for us?
Well, I have a rant, and I have three noteworthy pieces of news and notes, two of which are tied to NXT to USA. It has been reported by the Wrestling Observer newsletter, big old Uncle Dave, that something that is very relative to our interests after our groundbreaking announcement from last episode, that scalpers overbought the first AEW on TNT show, which has led to over 4,700 tickets stationary on the secondary market with an unusually low bottom price of $8. The All Out show, All Out show is by contrast, the hottest secondary market ticket in pro wrestling history, with an average secondary market ticket of more than $240. So basically, scalpers misread the popularity of All Out and was like, we need to buy up TV.
And it came back and bite him in the ass.
Good.
Yeah. Good. I'm still happy with oversetting.
Part of it, so it goes on to say, Boston has 1,150 tickets on the secondary market, but demand remains high at $65 bottom price. And Philly has 2,690 tickets on the secondary market, though the bottom price is $31. They're still going for above face value.
And of course, Pittsburgh and Charleston, West Virginia have not gone on sale yet. That'll be tomorrow.
And they did announce that they're going to do the finals of the tag team tournament in Charleston.
Yep. And they also just announced that Moxley is going to be in action in Charleston as well.
Yep.
So it's very interesting because I also, if I remember right, I think they said in Pittsburgh is going to be the first AEW title defense.
Yes. Which has led many people to theorize, myself included, that probably means Jericho's winning, because there's no way, if they hadn't already booked the triple threat, the six-man tag, they wouldn't have the world title defended on the very first TV show. And Paige isn't currently booked for a match on that first TV show.
Yep. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, after next Saturday, we'll start seeing how the wheels will be spinning, because then we'll literally be on a month path.
Yep.
To DC for AEW.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, and let me do something real quick while we're live. I think if people go to at the Lindenbaum 75, mm-hmm. there's a really some photos. I want to do a shout out to my boy Steve. He does the graphics for TXT. Yep. Does an amazing job. And @all3. And then @ Steve did awesome job with
me. While Mike is typing out his tweet, it has also come out via the Wrestling Observer newsletter that John Moxley has some form of elbow injury.
Yeah, it sounds like an infection that he suffered in Japan.
Yep. And there is... I'm not going to sit here and tell people what they should watch and what they shouldn't watch. People should be free to watch any kind of wrestling that they like. But what I will say is if you have any interest at all in good British wrestling, head on over to YouTube right now. And for free, one of my favorite English promotions, Future Shock Wrestling, is offering their full match. It's a 27-minute YouTube video of Pac versus one of their homegrown talents, Sonna Dursun. Absolutely phenomenal match. Go check it out. If you're interested in full match stuff, go check that out. It's Future Shock Wrestling. Future Shock is all one word.
Yep, and then you can go to @TheLindenbaum75 now, because the awesome graphics that Steve, the graphic designer for TXHT, made are now up, officially, publicly made for AEWDC. I actually asked him specifically in the graphic to do #AllEliteDC.
Yeah.
I asked for that specifically. So
And yes, I'm not going to hide the fact that I have been critical of AEW, but that doesn't mean I'm not super excited. So
it's going to be a great time.
Other things that is, at least for me, news and notes worthy. After some intense sleuthing, I was watching Raw and Jerry Lawler showed up. Did you see this segment?
You're talking about The Fiend?
Yeah, but he was wearing that awesome stripy shirt. The old Jerry Lawler.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, man, that looks familiar. And it turns out it's one of the shirts The Rock used to wear in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I actually saw that on Facebook. It was actually a meme on Facebook this morning.
But yeah, I mean, any news from you?
Not a lot of news on my end. Mine's going to be more towards the NXT TV thing.
Okay. I think...
But I will say this. On Monday Night Raw, I was able to watch Raw, the full show, mm-hmm. this past Monday. And I actually live tweeted the show, mm-hmm. which is something I really don't do. And I created this thread so you could see all the tweets. I will say that when Sasha Banks came on the air, I just ignored the segments by just talking about something completely random.
Yeah. So we're going to get onto that now. Okay.
Segway.
Fucking Bailey. So for those of you who've been watching 205 Live, you'll know that this most recent week there was this big team elimination of Team Oney Lorcan against Team Drew Gulak, right? And Oney Lorcan was doing this thing on social media about trying to find the last member of his team. And he tweets, my final pick for my team is Isaiah Swerve Scott because of his past match with Gulak on 205 Live and he might want another crack at Gulak and this is not... So Oney Lorcan has done this thing where he speaks in all caps and doesn't punctuate anything.
Which is hilarious.
And he says he might want another crack at Drew Gulak, and this is a good opportunity for that. And I asked Danny Burch if he could be on my team this Tuesday, but he's got to take his dog to the vet. Danny Burch for a tag team, of course.
Yep.
So Bailey replies, put me on your team. I got this bruise in a fight, and I will not let you down. Plus, I have a tattoo, so I can handle pain. And Oney Lorcan says, Vince McMahon said I can only have a 5-person team. I'm all filled up, but do you want to be our mascot? To which Bailey replies, okay, thank you. I understand. I am already a mascot every Tuesday night. Haven't you noticed me backstage? Probably not. Right.
What?
Yeah. So, let's fucking talk about this.
Shoot.
Fuck you.
That was blunt to the point.
The strongest you've ever been booked on the main roster... You've gone through Ember Moon. You've gone through Nikki and
Alexa.
Alexa in the same match. You've gone through all kinds of stuff. You have feature matches. You've been all over there. And you still complain like you're some kind of fucking mascot. You and Sasha are cut from the same fucking cloth. You will never be happy. You are the SmackDown Women's Champion. The only woman in the company right now that's better represented than you is Becky. And that's because Becky fucking earned it rather than sitting backstage and fucking crying.
Yep.
Fuck that.
And let's also be honest, when Becky was asked about Sasha, I think going into SummerSlam weekend.
You're the woman who's like, hey, Ember Moon, let's have a fucking match at SummerSlam because you deserve a title shot. And then the very next week, you're like, hey, Trish Stratus, wrestle me. Hey, literally every other woman in the locker room, I'm going to tweet at you and go, hey, let's have a wrestling match. Completely ignoring the fucking woman that you've already got a fucking match with. You're going to complain about the fact that you're, I'm a mascot. You buried Ember Moon before your match even started, to the point where Ember fucking Moon, the Sheenom, one of the greatest things to come out of NXT, was never a believable challenger for your fucking title. And we'll get to that at SummerSlam. Fuck you. And Mike and I had a conversation earlier in the week about, oh, they got to be building towards the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen. Fuck that match. The only one of the actual Four Horsewomen I can stand is Becky. Sasha and Bayley are whiny little bitches that don't deserve to be given shit. And Charlotte, as good as she is, her push doesn't feel organic. It's like, you've got the name Flair. If they hadn't done all the bullshit where she was the chosen one, it might feel organic. But fuck me. Sorry, that's my rant.
Well, not only that, but...
Okay, Bayley, get over yourself. Sasha, get over yourself. Not everyone can be on top the whole time. Sure, you got told that you were breaking up a... I don't give a fuck. You're both... Bayley has been booked brilliantly since the breakup with Sasha. And as for Sasha... No, we don't care that your hair is blue. Since when has blue hair meant heel Sasha? I do believe the time that you made Izzy cry, which was peak heel Sasha, you had the purple hair, which is supposedly face Sasha. Doesn't make any fucking... And as for you, Michael fucking Cole, you have 2 weeks ago, you have Natalya in a ring, given a heartfelt speech about the 1 year anniversary of her dad's death. Right?
Yep.
In Canada. And Sasha Banks' music starts. And not once do you go, wow, Sasha just interrupted a eulogy for the anvil. You go, no, could it be? It is. It's boss time. Fuck you. No, we're not that happy to see Sasha. Okay, rant definitely over for now. Putting that one for now till we get to SummerSlam.
Okay, but I was actually going to put in one point real quick. Becky buried the shit out of Sasha.
Oh, she's so... Do you remember...
Going in, like, it was one of those interviews going in the SummerSlam, and Becky buried Sasha.
Well, that's the whole... Like, that played into what happened on Raw this week. Where, like, Becky was... The interview that Becky did, where she's like, I've done more in, like, 2 press junkets than Sasha's done in her entire career by making her the second most important person on the roster.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
And she buried her again when she was like, she buried her on the microphone again this Monday, where she's like, Sasha Banks is the best woman in this company to never be great. I was like, all right, Becky. She's dead. This woman has a family. Like, God is my witness, she's broken in half.
Just poking it with a stick going, I think it's alive.
The sad thing is Sasha's probably going to win that match. Like, part of the fucking thing is probably Sasha needs to win the title. That's why she came back. But, yeah, she doesn't deserve that. Because I wrote this post after Sasha came back, and I was like, you know what I want to see on TV? I want to see them having a face-to-face where she's like, and that's where I'm going to face you at SummerSlam. Survivor Series. Becky is like, no, you're not. You lost at WrestleMania. You took your toys and you went home and you cried and you whinnied and you bitched and you moaned and you did all your bullshit. And you think coming back to hit me with a chair gets you a title shot? I'm beat up by better than you are. Beat up by Ronda Rousey. Like, meanwhile, I'm going to be giving a shot at Survivor Series to someone that stayed here, worked their ass off, and earned it. I would have loved that to be the promo.
Yeah. But instead, we'll probably get Sasha versus Becky at Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions.
Which they've also have already announced Bayley versus Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I think that's all they've announced so far for...
They announced Bayley versus Charlotte, and this is my excited face. For those of you listening on the audio, Ben is utterly impassive right now.
And then, oh, that's what the other thing is. The King of the Ring tournament finals is going to be a Clash of Champions. I actually like the fact that they're bringing back the
King. I genuinely wish they'd saved it for NXT UK, but...
But I like the fact that it's like it's all Raw guys versus Raw guys, all SmackDown guys versus SmackDown guys. It literally be a Raw versus SmackDown championship, which is, I think, how they did it in 2002.
Yeah. And what was the... Austin Creed, when they announced the King of the Ring, was like, "Put me in it! Put me in it!" And then, like, they announced the lineup, and then he put this GIF online of him just freaking the fuck out. It's like, no, this isn't the live stream of me having to deal with the fact I'm not in King of the Ring. Also, can we give shout outs to you, Tyler Breeze? Up, up, down, downs, GM of the year.
Nice.
So if any of you are watching Battle of the Brands from Up, Up, Down, Down, where Austin and Tyler Breeze went head to head in SmackDown versus Raw 2006 GM mode.
Now, that makes me wish I had a PS2. Yeah. I have all my PS2 games, but...
You just recreate it in universe mode, mate.
Yeah. Let's talk about the big thing.
NXT to TV, baby!
So, I was reading more about this.
Uh-huh.
So as we all know, Tuesday they announced that NXT is coming to USA Network, mm-hmm. Starting September 18th, and it'll air from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
As of right now, there is no talk about a West Coast airing,
mm-hmm.
At this time. Also, I just found out, before we went on the air that apparently that this is a 2-year deal.
And it's worth over about $30 million a year.
Yeah. It's supposed to be done live from Full Sail University.
2 hours every Wednesday.
Yep. And also...
the announced team is remaining the same.
Pretty much everything is going to be remaining the same. Triple H is still going to remain in charge of NXT. Vince is going to be... Vince and Kevin Dunn are both going to be hands-off, which is great news. And then one of the things that I really like, and it was actually announced in the email that the WWE sent out to everybody when they made the announcement, mm-hmm. is that unlike Raw and SmackDown, where you have to wait 3 weeks for it to be put up on the network, it'll be streamed
next day,
24 hours later. So every Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. will be the replay, the tape delay, as they call it, of NXT on the WWE Network, which brings me to this point, which makes me happy that this is happening the way it is, because we can watch AEW on Wednesday nights, and then we can watch NXT on the network the very next night.
The other thing I want to talk about while we're still talking about infrastructure is, Uncle Dave over at the Wrestling Observer Newsletter has said that there is... it is all but confirmed that all of the NXT developmental contracts are going to be converted to main roster contracts.
Partially. He says that they weren't going to be to the full level of the main roster contracts, but they are going to be a significant increase from what their developmental deals are.
So. No, that is not what he reported. What he reported is WWE would scale up the new signees to main roster level to prevent the next hot talent from going to AEW. Hasn't happened yet, but it will happen when NXT
starts on September 18th.
On September 18th, yeah.
Yeah, but I think one of the biggest takeaways also is because as soon as this announcement was made official, the conspiracy theories were thrown out there that Vince was going to take over and you can just say goodbye to all the NXT guys and blah, yep. blah. It is, in fact, and Uncle Dave reported it, that Triple H is, in fact, going to be, it's going to remain in his vision.
As long as the ratings stay good.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's a good question to bring up, should we fear for NXT? But I think NXT, let's be honest, Vince is creating a war that really wasn't there.
Yeah. I don't think it wasn't there, but it wasn't relevant until now.
Yeah.
Because they were broadcasting on a different night. It wasn't a war. It was just, it was more of a cold war because they never would have interacted. Whereas now that NXT's on the same night as AEW, and is a similar style product. Now it's a war.
Yeah. So essentially Vince created his own war.
No, I'm fairly sure that the AEW folks made it fairly fucking clear that they were at war with Vince. Cutting promos like, you can't counter program this, we're a fucking revolution, blah, blah, blah. They made it pretty fucking apparent they wanted war.
Well, I want to ask you one question. Because AEW has not officially put out their name yet for their show.
Uh-huh.
Would you prefer it to stay AEW on TNT, Wednesday Night Dynamite, or AEW Revolution?
I'd rather it just stays AEW on TNT. Wednesday Night Dynamite sounds fucking stupid. And AEW Revolution makes me want to throw up.
That sounds
Wasn't Revolution a bad Aerosmith video game at one point?
I don't remember. So, you're opening up your Bob Weiser.
Bob Weiser, yep.
So, I don't know. But yeah, it's just an interesting note that those are the name, like those are the two names that are registered. And AEW Revolution, I could see that being more of a pay-per-view name than a TV show name.
I don't think it needs I don't know. I think the word revolution is just, it's the sort of thing you give to a stable rather than an entire promotion.
Right.
I mean, there was New Year's Revolution, and that was stupid enough.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's why it only lasted, two pay-per-views for that one? So. But all
right. And let's be fair, right? AEW has kind of a right to be worried. Let's be fair. I mean, if they were freaking out about an Evolve show airing opposite them on the WWE Network. Just saying. Anyway.
Yeah. So, little break. Results.
Also, part of me wonders who set the time slot. Was it Vince? Was it USA?
I think it was Vince because according to some things that I read, they wanted to do it Wednesday nights with FS1, but because that is dedicated to basketball, they couldn't break that contract. So, which is one of the reasons why it went to USA and not Fox, because of the basketball contract. So that tells me it's a WWE thing.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Part of me thinks that USA has to have something to do with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, actually, one question also to bring up is, because we haven't talked about this, is that with SmackDown moving to Friday night for Fox, there is now questions about what will happen with 205 Live, which many of the talents on that roster thinking that it's going to be gone in a matter of a month.
I don't know. I genuinely couldn't tell you. I love to see it just get recorded with Raw.
Even though they record main event with Raw?
Get rid of main event.
I don't think they can. I think that's a UK a thing.
Just give them 205 Live.
So
the 205 Live product is the second best product in the company right now, behind NXT. 205 Live is great. Again, anything that Triple H is involved in the writing of seems to be coming up gold. So,
just saying, I don't want to see 205 Live go away. I do enjoy 205 Live a lot when I do get the chance to watch it these days. But this also comes up to the thing that, you know, that I brought up at AwesomeCon back in April, which is look at all the content that we have. You're now bumping NXT up an additional hour. There is rumor that with Fox and SmackDown that SmackDown get a third hour, but they may go to FS1 or WWE Network.
Mind you, of all the WWE shows there are to get another hour of content, there are worse things to get an hour of content than NXT.
We don't need a fourth-hour Raw, damn it.
Can we talk about... we'll talk about the spoilers for NXT in the TakeOver Roundup. I guess. All right.
Yeah.
Let's just get into... we could talk about... The bottom line comes down to this, right? In a day and age of video on demand and TiVo and the WWE Network and everything, both shows are going to find viewers.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Oh, and last bit of news... we're not going to touch base much on it, but apparently it was announced today that WWE is launching its own podcast network. So WWE,
good for them.
WWE, I just want you to know, my name is Michael Lindenbaum. His name is Ben Taylor. We are Awesome Mania.
We are not on their radar because they want all the people to stop going to Podcast One. They want all the people to stop working with Conrad.
Yep. So, and just to let you know, we don't work with Conrad. Yeah. So, I think that works in our favor now. But hopping into results.
Yeah, results.
Starting off, TakeOver Toronto 2.
Yeah.
We are going to go into the opening match of the night, which was for the NXT Tag Team Championships, the Street Profits defending against the Undisputed Era, which would see the Street Profits retain. We both picked Undisputed Era. We were both wrong.
And I would say that in the long run, we were both right.
Oh, in the long run, yes, we were both right. But I want to bring up the thing that I texted you, and that was saying how underwhelmed I felt by that match.
Of course it did. It had the Street Profits.
It wasn't a matter of the Street
Profits. You go out of your way to dislike the Street Profits because you're a horrible racist.
Wow. No.
Okay.
No. But it was something that you and I noticed together.
Yeah.
And that was the fact that it felt that Undisputed Era carried this match. Mm-hmm. And when they gave opportunities to the Street Profits to really carry it on their own, it fell flat or didn't come across the way it was supposed to come across. Mm. Like when Montez Ford started to act like he was the Rock and do the Rock Bottom, which was a pretty bad Rock Bottom, and then try to do the People's Elbow, I'm pretty sure the crowd popped for it, but it didn't get me excited.
But did they pop for him or did they pop for the move?
I think they popped more for the move than it was for Montez.
And to go on to talk about what I briefly mentioned in the previous segment, which was spoilers, the very next taping, the Street Profits dropped the titles to the Undisputed Era anyway.
Yep.
Now, I understand you don't want it to be as obvious as it may be, right?
Yep.
When you have a title match on a takeover and you want people to realize they need to tune into your TV for some reason. But I feel that's a title change that could have gone down at the pay-per-view.
It's definitely one that I think between that one and what went down with the other title matches,
yeah,
that was the one that needed to happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, depending on when that...
It was the only title switch that needed to happen. Every other title is fine where it is.
Yeah. And also one thing, and I'm going to put this out there, given now that we officially know about NXT to USA starting September 18th,
yeah,
this is the NXT that's supposed to be, I think, the one right before that.
Yeah.
It makes sense to make that the last WWE Network exclusive to have the have a title change hands before officially moving over to USA Network.
So USA can be like, hey, look why you should tune into TV.
Yeah. So when you look at it from a structure like that, it makes sense. So,
yeah.
Because obviously they know some of that stuff in advance.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this match was as underwhelming as it could have been with these two teams. The Undisputed Era did literally everything they could to pull a good match out of the Street Profits. It's one of the few matches I will unabashedly just hold my hands up and say, yeah, the Street Profits weren't good here. Usually they're at least decent. They just weren't firing here for me at all. So, yeah.
Next match was Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae.
Mm-hmm.
The Io Shirai win. We both picked that one, so we are both correct.
Tell me, Mike.
See,
Io Shirai against who?
You know the full name better than I do.
That's why you need to say it more often.
Yes, so it is Candice, Jonathan Q Wrestling.
No, Jonathan.
Okay.
Candice Q Wrestling LeRae Gargano.
Okay. Hold on. Let me do this real quick. So it is Candice
Q Wrestling. LeRae Gargano.
Wrestling LeRae Gargano. All right, let me just do something real quick. Just kidding. I need this because that's the rest results on it. Anyways, that's my take of humor on an audio podcast. As I write it on the thing, crumple up the paper, say "fuck this" and throw it to the trash. It was a decent match.
Mm.
Between the two, Io Shirai got the victory. Her pant leg apparently did not want to stay tied down. That was like the big thing I took out of that match.
That's what you took out of the match.
Yeah, the pant leg, the ties, it doesn't want to stay. Yeah, I mean, it was a decent match. I mean, good grabs between the two.
Tell me about the finish.
It was... I can't remember off the top of my fucking head. I know she did, like, her moonsault, I believe.
And Candace kicked out.
Yeah, that's right. She did the moonsault, Candace kicked out. And then... brain fart.
I do believe there was a triangle choke with her legs.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Remember that.
Triangle choke with the legs. Got that. I do know that in their post-NXT interview, Io Shirai said that she is going after the NXT Women's Championship again.
Don't care.
Yeah. It's just what they posted on the social medias.
No, I dig it. But the point is I've already seen her lose 3 times.
Yeah, I know. So next up, we have the NXT North American Championship triple threat match between the Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne, and Roderick Strong, which saw Velveteen Dream retain by pinning Pete Dunne. I selected Velveteen Dream. You selected Roderick Strong. You even tried to persuade me to change my pick to Roderick Strong, and I stuck with Velveteen.
No, I didn't try to convince you to change your pick to Roderick Strong. I tried to convince you to not pick Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Because I logically believe that Velveteen Dream should be next in line for a shot at Adam Cole. There is literally no other man on the roster after Johnny Gargano that deserves it.
Yeah. So Velveteen Dream retained. That was a damn good match.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that match very much.
3 of the best wrestlers on the planet. I mean.
Yep. And then you've seen recent NXT TV, so you were mentioning to me that it's Roddy versus...
Yeah, they're going back to Roderick versus Velveteen. Like, Roderick's been like, well, you didn't pin me. And Velveteen's like, well, why would I give you a wrestling match? And they cut to Roderick on a Titantron burning Velveteen Dream's couch that he comes out on.
Yep.
Literally just sets it on fire and is like, how about now?
Okay. I didn't write this one down, but it did happen. But we did have an impromptu between Killian Dane and Matt Riddle.
It wasn't so much an impromptu match as just 2 people beating shit out of each other.
Yeah,
it was like, just a fight. It wasn't a match.
Yeah, like Riddle called out Dane because they're supposed to have that match.
It was an segment.
Yeah, so you had that. Next up, you have the NXT Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler defending against Mia Yim.
Yep.
We both picked Baszler. We were both correct as she would retain the title. One of the things I liked is that in the interview post-match, is when they're saying, hey, Mia really took it to you. How do you feel about that? And she was like, I won, didn't I?
All right, so...
And just to let you know, I have a thunderstorm hitting my area real quick. So just throw that out there. I am being hit with a thunderstorm.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you to repeat.
Okay, you want me to repeat? Because you just froze on my screen. Yes, I said Shayna Baszler retained. Sorry.
How did she do that?
So, just to let you know, you keep breaking up on my end. I keep breaking up.
I know you have a thunderstorm. Yeah,
so, but what I said was is that Shayna Baszler, she retained the title.
But how did she retain the title, Michael?
Submission.
Yeah. What submission did she use, Michael?
I can't remember all these fucking names off the top of my head.
What did it look like, Michael?
Triangle choke?
Yeah, with her legs. It was the exact same fucking finish as Io Shirai and Candice LeRae. It was the exact same fucking finish, except for the fact that Mia Yim tapped out and Candice LeRae passed out.
Yep. So one thing I said, but I guess it got broken up.
You said, I caught the thing you said about the
post. Oh, the post. Beginning. Okay, cool. Then I don't have to repeat it.
The point being is, for the first time in history that I can remember, two matches on a takeover and finished the exact same way. Now, it made sense for it to finish that way with Mia Yim against Shayna, because Mia had spent most of the match working on Shayna's arm, so she couldn't put in the clutch, yep. Right? Whereas the Io Shirai Candice LeRae, you're going to end it that any other way. Also, I'm going to say this now. I fucking love Shayna Baszler. She can remain champion forever, as far as I'm concerned. I think she's brilliant. She fits the same role as Samoa Joe does for me, whereas I believe everything he says and everything he does. When it's Shayna Baszler, she's like, I'm going there and I'm going to fuck her up. I'm like, yes, you are. Because you're Shayna Baszler.
And then finally for NXT TakeOver Toronto 2, you have your main event. You have the NXT Championship in a, you know, let's just call it a three stages of hell match, which is what it really is.
Yeah.
The first match being a classic match, the second match being a street fight, and the third match being Regal's Choice, which I am so pissed that they revealed it on the pre-show.
Can we talk about that for a second? Where they're all like, holy shit, we've never seen anything like this before. I'm like, obviously, you've never been to the Ambrose Asylum match. Because that's literally what that fucking is.
Yep. That's exactly what that is. So we're going to call that, what, Regal's Asylum?
Regal's Choice. Just call it Regal's Choice for now.
Regal's Choice.
So there's an awesome piece of continuity in this match. An awesome piece of continuity. In the very first, and it's a double piece of continuity. In the first fall where they're doing the plane wrestling match and Adam Cole goes for the chair and the referee takes it off him and he kicks Johnny Gargano in the nuts. Great callback to their last match, of course. But also, if you watch Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon from SummerSlam, Kevin Owens does the exact same thing. He gets the chair, the referee takes it off him, and he kicks Shane in the nuts. Not only is it the exact same referee, right?
Yeah.
It's the same referee twice in a row. There's a picture backstage Kevin Owens congratulating Adam Cole after the match. And on the watch along on WWE YouTube, Adam Cole's watching the match and turns around and goes, yeah, me and Kevin, we discussed tactics for this match. it's such a cool little moment.
Oh, that's great.
But we'll talk about that more when we come to SummerSlam,
which we'll be getting to very soon. So we had Adam Cole winning via disqualification in the first fall. Mm-hmm. Johnny Gargano. Oh, wait. Correction. Jonathan Q wrestling a Gargano, winning the second fall in the street fight, and then Adam Cole winning the third fall inside the steel cage with barbed wire and weapons, which I actually liked how they put in the stipulation that you're not allowed to escape the cage.
See, if it was, was that in the stipulations, or were they just assuming that because there was barbed wire?
No, they actually announced it when they lowered the cage. And
but what would they have done if they had got out of the cage? They just forced them to get back in?
I think it would have been considered a forfeit, just like with War Games.
Mm, fair enough.
Yeah. So, because they, when after the cage was announced and they said, and now this, now for our third contest and then Regal's Choice, you cannot escape the cage.
Mm.
So that was like a legitimate stipulation, which I kind of like that because it, but I also felt that it was like, man, they kind of really, I would like, as I originally said that they should do a ladder match, which they did have a ladder in that match.
Mm.
But because you have War Games, which is your very next takeover event.
Yeah.
So I felt like doing back-to-back cage matches at their takeovers would have been a little bit too much, but you know what, it worked out because the end, this one I do remember, the end of this match was actually where Cole and Gargano on the top of the cage on that little platform. Mm-hmm. They both go through the tables, but yet somehow Cole is able to get the pin mm-hmm. for the victory.
He rolls over and covers him.
Yeah, and it was Gargano who did the move off of the top.
Well, kind of. Gargano had cut off a segment of the barbed wire and was going to hit Adam Cole with it. Adam Cole climbed to the top of the cage. Gargano joined him and was trying to rub the barbed wire in his face. And while struggling, they both fell off through the tables.
Yeah.
And then Adam Cole sort of rolled over and covered him.
Hell of a match, though.
Yeah, great match.
Yeah. Cannot go wrong with them.
There's no one better to be carrying that title into the first night of
USA.
USA. The Undisputed Era are going to be huge. They just are. Especially after the bullshit that happened on Raw this week.
Yep. So, moving on to SummerSlam.
I do want to quickly bring up, those weren't the only matches that happened at Thing. There were two matches that I feel we should talk a little bit about.
The NXT taping matches?
Yeah, the NXT taping beforehand. The first being the Forgotten Sons against Breezango, and Breezango looking damn good. And the final of the breakout tournament in which Jordan Miles, formerly known as ACH, defeated Cameron Grimes, previously known as Trevor Lee. Both great matches. Check them out on WWE Network if you can.
And now we're moving to SummerSlam. And then also, didn't Keith Lee and Dominic
Dijakovic,
didn't they also have a match on that one?
No. That was at the most recent taping.
Okay. Yeah, because I was reading that apparently that match stole the tapings.
I think the title match stole the tapings, but yeah. Dijakovic and Keith Lee were...
Well, it was Dijakovic and...
Everyone I know who was there is like, you have to see this match, so...
Yeah. Well, it was pretty much the two matches, the tag team title match and the Keith Lee match. So...
Got to see Keith Lee back from injury.
Yep. Moving on to...
Oh, boy, have I got stuff to say about this card.
Moving on to SummerSlam. We're going to knock two matches out of the way real quick because they're both on the kickoff show. We did not do predictions for them because they're added after we did predictions. The first one being Buddy Murphy versus Apollo Crews, which would see Buddy Murphy win via disqualification after Rowan attacked Murphy.
All right, let's talk about this for a minute.
Yep.
What do you think of this story?
I didn't get to see SmackDown on Tuesday because I was in a recording session,
what happened?
I did see clips, and I saw that they brought out like a Rowan doppelganger.
No, but did you see what happened in the match? Buddy Murphy pinned Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Buddy Murphy pinned 5-time world champion Daniel Bryan.
And the week before that,
stop saying he's being fucking buried.
And the week before that, he had a hell of a match with Roman Reigns.
Yep.
And
secrets out, man. Hashtag secrets out.
And then not only that, but even after the match with Roman, Roman came out and says, this guy is the real deal, and I can't wait to be in the ring with him again.
I feel so good for Buddy Murphy. Like, I've loved Buddy Murphy since he first showed up in NXT. And it was him and...
Wesley Blake,
and they partnered up with Alexa. I fucking loved them then, and I loved them through their whole feud with the Vaudevillains. I loved Murphy all the way through all the shit he went through after they broke up. I love all the stuff that happened between him on 205 Live. I am so glad that Buddy Murphy is fucking thriving on SmackDown.
Yeah,
He fucking deserves it.
Yeah, I know for Wesley Blake, it took him a little longer to try to reinvent himself after the breakup of Murphy and Blake.
Yeah.
But, or Blake and Murphy, whatever the hell they were called. Yeah, Blake and Murphy. But Buddy Murphy was able to reinvent himself fairly quickly after that. And while he did stumble along in NXT, it wasn't until he got the 205 Live where we were going like, yeah, this is the real fucking deal right here. And like when they did Super Showdown in Australia and he won the Cruiserweight title, that was fucking amazing. So, but moving on, next kickoff show matchup that you had was Nikki Cross. I almost said Nikki Bliss. Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss defending the women's tag team titles against the Iconics, which would see Bliss and Cross retain in a pretty good matchup.
Right, let's talk a little bit about this. I want to give a massive shout out to Paul Heyman. Like a ridiculous shout out to Paul Heyman. The reason the title change took place on Raw is because Paul Heyman sat in the writer's room, looked at Vince McMahon and went, "Don't you think a title match deserves longer than 5 minutes on a pay-per-view, Vince?"
Yes.
So a lot of people saw it as a demotion. I like to think of it as doing
the title justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this match went, what, 5 minutes?
I think the title defense went like
6 minutes, 15 seconds.
Yeah. And the title match on Raw before SummerSlam, yep, I believe it went like 3 segments.
Yeah. It was a long match.
Yep.
Anyway, my point being, shout outs to Paul Heyman.
Yes. And then your third kickoff show matchup, you had Drew Gulak defending the Cruiserweight Championship against Oney Lorcan.
And also, I would like to point out that you said we didn't do any predictions, but I literally said there will probably be a match between Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss and the Iconics. I literally said that line.
You did, but it wasn't something that was written down because we didn't have...
I predicted an entire match, Mike.
Fine, point goes to Ben. Did it matter? You won SummerSlam anyways because yeah. I won TakeOver Toronto.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, then you had Gulak defending against Oney Lorcan, which would see Gulak retain. We both picked Gulak to retain the title. We were both correct. Good hard-hitting matchup between these two. That's what you expect from Oney Lorcan, too, especially.
So. Not only from Oney Lorcan, but if you saw the Catch Point match evolve, if you've gotten to see any Drew Gulak's recent matches, Dave can stand and bang. Like, I do believe it's been multiple years at this point. That you and I have said that the Cruiserweight title deserves to be on the main show of WrestleMania because those guys fucking deserve it.
Yeah.
And they do.
Yeah, like it.
Plain and simple.
Like the one thing I think you and I mutually agreed on was that the big four, the Cruiserweight title has to be on the main card 100%.
Yeah.
Whereas with some of the other pay-per-views, you have a little give and take there. I understand there's other storylines that go over the Cruiserweight title, but these guys bust their fucking asses off. And they put they literally do the match of the night every fucking time. So hats off to them. I don't have this all in order. So I'm just going to run through the card in general. So I have next up, and I'm doing this, I guess, in the order of how we did the predictions. So,
yep.
Goldberg versus Dolph Ziggler. I predicted not my sanity. You had predicted Goldberg. You got the point on that one. However, I want to say this. I really loved what they did with Goldberg and Ziggler post-match.
Can we talk about the pre-match first?
Yeah, because my sanity actually quite enjoyed that very much.
So I love the fact that they found a door that opens inwards. Because the last couple of times he's been in dressing rooms with doors that open outwards, he's headbutted the door open and concussed himself. Right? You can just imagine, like, Triple H running backstage going, fuck, find a door that opens in. Fuck me, I'm not having him concuss himself again. Or you have that moment where he goes, it opens inwards, and he goes to headbutt the door open, and it's just like, and the sign falls off the other side, and it's like janitor's closet. Like, and Goldberg's just fucking knocked out.
Actually, also, one of the other differences that they did was also to prevent Goldberg from actually doing the head hit on the door like he does, is the security guard was
opening the door for him. Yeah,
he banged the door and then opened it for him, so he couldn't do the headbutt. But also, interesting thing, Goldberg has openly admitted this in interviews. Remember how he ran into the ring post at Super Showdown against Taker? That is actually the real reason for his concussion. And
he was concussed before he came out of his dressing room. You could see him walking down the ring.
But it made it worse. And this is the thing he's actually mentioned in the interview most recently when they're promoting SummerSlam.
Yeah, he can say that all he likes because he wants actually, to make him, yeah, but he's going to say that because he doesn't want to make himself culpable. He was concussed coming out of the fucking curtain. You could see it.
Yeah, but one thing, though, is that he openly admitted they told him not to do the spot beforehand, the ring post spot, because he apparently has a history of, if he doesn't concuss himself with the door, concussing himself doing the ring post bit.
Yeah, he's that.
Because he doesn't know how to take a fucking
Goldberg's spot. A fucking moron.
You ain't getting a debate from me on that one. But like, also the post-match where Ziggler was speared into oblivion 3 times.
Fact they called him a dipshit.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, I actually enjoyed that. Like, that made that whole segment actually enjoyable for a match. Next up on the card that I have...
Before we move on.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the watch along for a minute.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about it for this match.
So, guess who was at the watch along?
I would assume Mr. Riddle.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And apparently, before the show, Matt and Goldberg had a bit of a run-in.
Yeah, I read about that, how he was sharing the story.
Yeah, and he's like, and Goldberg's like, we need to have a talk. He's like, okay, bro. And he's like, I'm not your bro. He's like, all right, bro. He's like, and it just carries on like that. And so Matt Riddle's in the watch-along watching the Goldberg match, and it is the funniest shit. I can't wait for that to be a thing. I really can't.
So next up, we have Trish Stratus versus Charlotte Flair.
Uh-huh.
We both selected Charlotte. She did win the match.
Yep.
I'll let you start. What were your overall thoughts on the match?
I wasn't as enamored with this match as you were. I know that for a fact. So, I mean, we discussed it a little bit afterwards.
Yeah.
This is one of those matches. I understand that Trish wanted her quote-unquote retirement match, and she wanted it in her quote-unquote hometown.
And she wanted to pass on the torch. Because, I mean, if you looked at her last retirement match, it was against Lita. And it was her winning the title. And then vacating it.
But it wasn't, though, because she's had like 6 matches since 2014.
Yeah.
So that wasn't her retirement match.
That was her contract is expiring match.
Yes. This was never going to be a contest. Right. This is something that It has been a problem all night, right? Because this was in actuality like the third or fourth match. None of the women's matches had any of their challenges built up to be credible. Sure, she's Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus hasn't been good in like 15 years. I've covered the Ember Moon situation to fucking death.
Yep.
Hey, let's do a wrestle. Actually, I want to wrestle everybody else, or I want to wrestle Trish Stratus. Oh, now I have to save you from a sharpshooter. And as much as we love Natty, there's nothing they could have done to make her a fucking challenger to Becky.
Yeah. Now, you had said that I was more enamored with this match.
You enjoyed this match way more than I did.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest reasons why is that, number one, this was Trish's first singles match since she won the title at Unforgiven in, I believe, 2008. Because every other match that she was in was either Royal Rumble or a tag team matchup. She had not had a singles match. So I actually was intrigued to see how she would actually do in this match. And she held her own. And she had, but one of the things that also is interesting was to see how Charlotte was in that match. Because I actually liked how Charlotte played up that heel so well against Trish Stratus. Because it was almost like this, I'm the future and I'm here now, and like, I'm beating your past. I'm beating what you love.
But so, shouldn't that be expected?
Oh no, it was definitely expected.
So why is it notable?
I don't know. It's just
a woman that is positioned to be the greatest women's wrestler of all time in Charlotte Flair. Beating also, a woman that hasn't had a singles match in 14 years. How is that actually surprising?
Yeah. And
how is that actually a shock?
And I'll put this out there because I hadn't seen the two in the ring together before SummerSlam. I didn't realize the height difference between Charlotte and Trish. Yeah. Like, that is a massive height difference between the two. But I actually liked it when Trish put in the figure eight on Charlotte. I thought that was an interesting part of the match.
Okay.
I think Trish held her own very well.
No, she didn't. She got carried. Trish coming back for that match is no different than Goldberg showing up now. It's no different than... I'm trying to think of examples. Lita having a match every now and again. That could have been Charlotte against Dana Brooke. And Dana Brooke could have been elevated. Or that could have not been on the card and the women's tag team title match could have got 20 minutes.
Yep.
And anyone who comes up to me and says that they thought it was a good match and that Trish Stratus had something to do with that is a fucking lunatic. Insofar as she didn't trip and break her neck, sure. I'm sorry, but... And this is one of those things that... It's going to come up when we talk about the WWE title match. The WWE... want us to have selective memories. They want us to forget the fact that Trish hasn't had a singles match in 14 years. And that Charlotte destroys current day superstars. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. So, match number four. The United States Championship match between AJ Styles and Ricochet, which would see AJ Styles retaining against Ricochet.
So there's two things to note here. Both of them to do with the way Ricochet was dressed.
It was Nightwing.
Sure.
Yeah.
But for those who don't know who Nightwing is, he looked like one of them gamer chairs.
Yeah, actually, thinking about it, yeah, you did. At least with the chess piece, he looked like it. Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know who Nightwing is, he's what Dick Grayson went to go on become after he became Robin in the Batman universe.
Yep.
If you don't know who he is, Ricochet looked like he was dressed up as a gamer chair. They never brought it up once on commentary. Even people I know who are clued into comics went, gamer chair.
Okay, I'm actually going to save this one for last, second to last, because that's where it was. And that's the Balor Fiend match. I want to talk about that.
Quote unquote match.
Yeah. Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. I had Owens, you had whatever. Kevin Owens would win. We already talked about the finish to that match.
I just want Shane to go away, but we're not getting it.
Not yet, at least.
He's still there. He made fucking Owens apologize to him this week on SmackDown.
Oh. It wasn't that because he also, if I read it, the tweet right, that he fined Owens like $100,000 for what happened.
Attacking Elias, yeah.
Yeah, at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next match, SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Ember Moon, which saw Bayley retain. I think we beat this one to death. The horse is already glue. We don't need to talk anymore. Agreed?
This match was not as good as the women in it. Quite frankly, both of them were not performing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Though Bayley did finally find a way to make the Bayley to Belly look good by doing it off the second rope.
Next up, you have the WWE Championship match, Kofi Kingston against Randy Orton. We both picked Kingston to win the match. The match would actually end in a count out draw. Because Orton then approached Kofi's family. Yeah.
What do you think of the result of the reaction to this?
Besides the fact that it's possibly going the path that you had talked about on the last episode?
My point being is the fact that everyone was trying to bullshit.
Oh, for the count out draw?
Yeah.
And
this, right, this is another thing. I mean, the video package leading into this match was fucking phenomenal. And it covered 10 to 15 years of history between these two.
Yep.
So WWE want us to have 10 to 15 years of history between these two, but they want us to forget that Trish Stratus has been gone for a decade and a half. The fuck?
Yeah. I can understand why people chanted bullshit, but this is the part of a longer program for Kofi.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is a lot of people were like, the crowd hated it. I'm like, no. The crowd hated it. They'd be booing. They were chanting bullshit, which means they are invested in this.
Yep.
They wanted to, that they were invested enough to want to see an actual winner.
Yep. Next up would be Raw Women's Championship, a submission match between Becky Lynch and Natalya, which would see Becky win.
This was actually the first match on the card.
Yes.
So, Natalya came out in this match with a Canadian flag around her shoulders, right? Now, several Canadian WWE fans that I know were like, really? Because She came out with a can flag, and everyone was like, yeah, we know. We know you from Canada. Well done. You talk about the Hart family every 3 seconds.
And if not the Hart family, you're talking about your cat.
Yeah. We know you from Canada. You don't need the flag, love. It's a bit tacky. And this goes into what I was talking about before. No matter how cool the thing they did, how cool of a things they did in the match, Natalya was never a credible threat to Becky. Never.
If somebody comes and they just slide up to that point, I think they're going to think they're listening to an audio porno for a second there.
Yeah, sorry about that. Almost as bad as when the Bella twins wrestle. And they go, every time they punch something.
But yeah, so you had that Fiend versus Balor. I saved this because this was legitimately second last match of the card, and then the last match we have to cover is Universal title. Holy shit, that entrance.
I am obviously in the minority because everyone's like shitting themselves over this. I'm like, the dude walking in the dark carrying a lamp. It's exactly what he used to do.
But do you know what the lantern is of, though?
It's just still a fucking lamp.
The lantern is supposed to be Bray Wyatt's head.
I know what it's supposed to be, Mike. It's still just a fucking lamp.
But I enjoyed it. I actually liked the music by Code Orange.
But what I'm saying is everyone's like super enamored with this Fiend and everything. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Right, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, shit, this entrance. I'm like, he's just doing exactly what he used to do in a different set of clothes. With different music. It's literally the same entrance. Because it doesn't blow the thing out anymore.
Yeah. One thing I do like is that he did... he's done some... And this is a complaint that you've had about Balor with the Demon. Where Balor is just wrestling with the same moveset. Yes,
I did really enjoy the ring stuff.
Yeah, because he actually... Because he did tweaks to his wrestling... style and like those little things.
Here's the thing I'm waiting for, right? I'm waiting for him to be in a major match and him to do the whole listen to the heel and hurt gloves and then just leave. I'm like, why did you leave? And I was like, because the voices didn't tell me to hurt you.
That would actually be interesting. But something, okay, so on Raw this week, the Fiend returned because he wasn't on the post-SummerSlam Raw. Mm-hmm. And he attacked Jerry the King Lawler.
In his rock shirt.
Yes. And so one thing a lot of people are thinking is that, one, A, they're being very protective of the Bray Wyatt Fiend character.
Yeah, they've talked about the fact they're only going to use him to wrestle on pay-per-views.
Yeah. And there are more Firefight Funhouse segments that are planned. Something that, and people are already creating the fan art posters for it, is maybe doing it right this time, Fiend versus Taker. Because as you remember, back at WrestleMania 31, when they did Wyatt versus Taker, the original plan was to have Wyatt go over and kind of become the new supernatural power of the WWE. If they protect it properly and they go this route, you could... Essentially, I don't think it's going to happen. I know a lot of people are clamoring for it already.
Those people are fucking stupid.
But I can see the point.
Because they're the same people that will probably tune in for this proposed dream match in Saudi Arabia between Sting and The Undertaker.
Is that really proposed or no?
Yep.
It is.
Let The Undertaker go away.
He wants to.
Doesn't need to take the moniker of the WWE Supernatural Power if he's the only fucking one.
Yep. So.
The demon go away. But they're not going to let the demon go away. He's too fucking profitable.
But here's the crazy thing. After SummerSlam, actually at SummerSlam Access, they had Firefly puppets and Fiend masks, and they were selling like hotcakes. And then they also
he's one of the hottest properties in the company.
And then shortly after SummerSlam, they put out a Firefly Funhouse kit.
Yeah, like a loot box.
Yeah, and it was only 500 boxes, and it was sold out within an hour. So, like, yeah, they better be fucking protective of this character because it's fucking brilliant. Like, the whole Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse host, and then The Fiend as two completely different characters with one person. It's really fucking cool. I enjoy it.
The main thing to take away from this is that they've got an opportunity here to do this right. The way they didn't do it right the first time with Bray Wyatt. The way they didn't do it right the first time with quite a few people. You once asked me what my advice for AEW was. Do you remember what it was? Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And my advice for them on this is don't fuck it up.
So with that, we come to our main event of SummerSlam. Ben's already face-palming, which is the Universal Championship.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Let's talk about this reality-based thing called wrestling.
Yeah. So the Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar defending against Seth Rollins, which would see Seth Rollins beat the Beast, which I fell asleep during the match. You predicted Brock. I said get the title off of Lesnar. We were both right. Oh, no, I was right and you were wrong because I said get the title off of Lesnar and I was right about that. They did.
No, because you didn't say who would take it off of Lesnar.
Which is true. But you did pick Brock to win because, yeah, as you just mentioned,
fuck Seth Rollins. Like, fuck Seth Rollins. Mr. Our business is based in reality. Okay, so why have you had the shit kicked out of you for 3 weeks on Raw? You got your ribs taped so badly and so well that Brock can pick you up by the rib tape and spin you around and throw you like a fucking handbag. Like he was a luggage carrier on an airline. And you can still hit two fucking frog splashes, one of which goes through an announcer's table, and still hit two curb stomps. How's that fucking reality, Seth? How does a person that's at like 30% health be a fully well ex-UFC? Fuck you, Seth. Fuck you. I would rather see that title on Goldberg right now.
So... Damn, Ben. Fully made. So we will talk about a little bit of Raw real quick. Seth and Braun Strowman are now the tag team champions.
Didn't Nicholas grow up so quickly?
I know, really. I mean, like, he just grew up to become Seth Rollins.
Why does Seth need the tag titles? Why does Braun need the tag titles? He just killed the fucking OC.
I think the big thing is that AOC is going to get the title back at Clash of Champions. But then the second thing is that you're going to have Braun versus Seth at Clash.
But why take the titles off them at all?
I don't know. That was one thing that didn't make sense to me either, outside of where they want to go with Clash of Champions.
And why are we having Seth against another big burly fuck? All he's done, since he won the title at Mania, his challenges have been Baron Corbin, big burly boring bastard, Brock burly boring bastard Lesnar, and Braun burly boring bastard Strowman. Put him in a universal title program with Ricochet and just watch them literally burn arenas down. Put him in there with Cesaro or Samoa Joe or... I'm literally exhausted from... Predictions.
Yes. Starting with NXT TakeOver Cardiff. Actually, I believe the other day or yesterday, it was announced that Noam Dar will finally have an opponent for Cardiff.
Travis Banks.
And it'll be Travis Banks. Ben, who'd you got?
First thing I want to say is shout out to NXT UK for selling out. They did announce that they have sold out all of the Travis Banks is Noam Dar. Don't know what it's leading to. Therefore, it has no consequences. Therefore, Viper.
All right. You went for Viper. I'm going to go with... I think because it was a fact that it was a challenge issued by Dar.
Mm.
And that he didn't find out who his opponent was going to be until like this week. I think it's going to be Dar because I think it's him challenging himself in this. So I'm going to go with Dar. Like you said, there's no consequences to this match that we know of.
You haven't guessed, folks. We stopped actually scoring who wins and who loses because most of the time I'm not going to put predictions for matches that don't matter. I'm probably just going to say something stupid.
And most times I don't even count that as a point. Yeah. If I do get it right anyways. So next up, you have Joe Coffey versus Bomber Dave Mastiff.
I wish they could still call Dave Mastiff the bastard. So Dave Mastiff used to have one of my favorite intros in British wrestling. Because he's a big northern lad, is Dave Mastiff. And he used to be part of a tag team with El Ligero, now just called Ligero, called the Banter Edition. Long story short, there was this stable, and it was Nathan Cruz, Zach Gibson, El Ligero, and Dave Mastiff. And they ended up breaking into two things within it, and it was Nathan Cruz and Zach Gibson on one side with like the professionals and Mastiff and El Ligero were on the other side, and they were called the Banter Edition because they were just about having fun. And his introduction was he's big, he's bad, ask your mom, he could be your dad, Dave Mastiff.
You know what? Fuck this. He's getting my pick right off the bat. That's right there.
I'm picking Joe Coffey.
Okay.
Coffey for you. Because I fucking love Joe Coffey. And I really, as much as I love Gallus, I want to see him and Wolfgang come to blows at some point.
And speaking of them, the NXT UK Tag Team Championship, you have the other two members of Gallus versus the Grizzled Young Vets versus Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews. Something tells me it's going to be Webster and Andrews. Like, I have that really weird gut feeling that it's going to be one of those out of nowhere wins.
Okay.
I'm not making it my official prediction. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised that that was
what
like...
What are you making your official prediction, Mike?
Oh, the Grizzled Young Vets.
Good, because that's who I'm picking. Because they are the best tag team in the world. They are now NXT UK, Progress, and Future Shock Wrestling Tag Team Champions all at the same time.
Next up, you have the NXT UK Women's...
Tyler Bate. Okay. Oh, I thought you were doing the UK Women's
Champion. Yeah, I said Women's Champion. All
right. Kaylee Gray
versus Toni Storm. Okay.
So Toni Storm.
All right. I got Storm.
They sunk way too much time into putting that belt on Toni Storm for her to lose it at the first takeover.
Yeah. And now you have the NXT UK...
Tyler Bate.
You got Bate.
Fuck Walter.
I'm adding the fuck Walter to it.
Yep. Tyler will not win, but I refuse to pick Walter.
I'm actually going to go with you on that one. I'm going with Bate too.
I refuse to pick Walter.
I'm not big on Walter. I also don't like the fact that that his name is spelled in all capital letters. Who are you? Are you really that special? Is it the only way that you know what your name is because your name is on all caps?
You can't wrestle. The only reason you're popular is because you can chop people.
Yep. So.
Fuck you. Anyway, on to
AEW
All Out. Fuck me.
All right. So I'm going to write these down as we go along. So we have the buy-in. We have Private Party. And I'm writing this down. Private Party versus Angelico and Jack Evans. And Evans. And I am going to go, man, after that last showing by Private Party and that showing that I saw of Angelico and Evans at Double or Nothing, like, oh, dude, I'm fucking torn on this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Angelico and Evans.
Okay.
I don't think
I'm going to go for Private Party.
Private Party. All right. And then...
Again, we're in this situation with AEW where this match doesn't mean a shit.
All right. And then... Women's title shot. EC. So we have the Casino Battle Royale. Winner gets a title shot at the Women's Championship in DC for the first episode of AEW on TNT. So far announced, you have Britt Baker, Teal Piper, Ivelisse, Jazz, Nyla Rose, Yuka Sakazaki, Ali, Brandi Rhodes, Big Swole, who was just announced yesterday, Sadie Gibbs, and the rest are to be announced.
Sadie.
Sadie Gibbs, and to be announced more names because they are going to
have... I literally refuse to pick this match. There is over half the field that is not announced. Less than 2 weeks before the show.
So...
While I dig the idea of like a random 21-woman casino battle royale, even though I fucking hate casino battle royales because... they're confusing as fuck. Just do a battle royale and have one person that's lucky enough to come in a little bit later as the Joker or the Ace or whatever you want to fucking call him. But then yep. He might get sued by New Japan.
So you're not going to do a pick?
I fucking refuse. Like,
I'm going to put it like this because we talked about it on the last episode when it was announced. And the thing that bothered me with the announcement was about how Brandi talked about it. So I have this really bad feeling that Brandy's going to win. And I'd
be so mad.
Yeah, I don't want her to win. I want Nyla Rose.
I don't think the person who wins the Joker, pulls the Joker, is going to win. Because that's what happened with Hangman Page in the last one. Yep. So I don't think that's what can happen here. I want Nyla Rose to win.
Yes.
But I don't see the point in predicting a match where we don't know half the participants.
Yeah.
Because imagine if they turn around and go, oh, by the way, Mickie James or Trish Stratus or any other number of people that I can say fuck you to WWE with in like 2-3 days, you'd be like, well, that changes everything. Like, yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go the route of you as, and say no pick as well, just because we don't know the other half of the
I have to take this phone call, Mike. I'll be right back.
All right, I am pausing it. Alrighty, so next up we have Riho versus Kairo Shida. I believe both of them are... They both have one loss each, I believe.
So, question.
Answer.
I'm still not done with the Casino Battle Royale, by the way.
Oh, okay. Then continue.
Let me ask you a question. What's the stipulation on the Casino Battle Royale?
A lot of confusing shit, but apparently it's based off of the suit of the cards.
No. The stipulation.
Oh, the winner receives a shot at the AEW Women's World Championship on October 2nd in Washington, D.C.
Right, and how many events do they have between D.C. and then?
Zero.
Okay. So who's going to be the other half of the Women's World title match?
That is a wonderful question.
Isn't it, though?
It is.
One I feel we should kind of know the answer to. Because at least when they did the Casino Battle Royale at All In, you knew that the other half was being determined by the main event. There's only one other women's match and it doesn't have a stipulation.
Nope. So, sorry, I'm writing these real quick. Dark Order. So next up,
Riho against Hikaru Shida.
Yes.
Riho.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same on that one.
Again,
I've only seen him.
Don't know where it's going. There's no stipulation. It's got no consequences. But Riho, I guess, because Riho.
Darby Allin versus Joey Janela versus Jimmy Havoc. The three guys who even made Blink 182 go, what the fuck, guys? I'm going Jimmy Havoc.
I want Jimmy Havoc to win. I think Joey Janela's going to win.
So you're going with Janela?
I don't know. Again, what does this gain anyone? What's at stake?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Jimmy Havoc because I want Jimmy Havoc to win, but I think Joey Janela will win because he needs to get his heat back after getting beaten by Moxley. Darby Allin doesn't need to worry about that because he's still got this momentum from the match with Cody. And Jimmy Havoc has literally never had momentum in this promotion. So,
all right. And then next up you have the Best Friends versus Dark Order for the first round bye in the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament.
Who's your pick? Who do you have and why?
Hmm. I am going to go... I'm going to go best friends.
Okay.
Simply because I think they're going to exact a little bit of revenge on the Dark Order for, you know, for making their debut on them. Because if you remember at Double or Nothing, Dark Order came in, they demolished Best Friends, and that's how they made their statement of entering into AEW.
Right.
Best Friends will have that in the back of their minds. Like, these guys made a name of themselves off of us. We're gonna beat them. We're gonna take this first round by.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the Dark Order, mainly because I think they're gonna get pushed pretty hard until the tournament finals.
Okay.
Also, they've been pushed so fucking hard to this point that if they don't win here, it's somewhat of an embarrassment for them. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. All right. So next up, you have Cody versus Sean Spears with Tully Blanchard in his corner.
Hmm.
And with the stipulation, as we saw on that episode of Road to All Out, Tully was able to get in the contract, which Cody did not notice.
Cody's only allowed one person at ringside.
Yes. So who will he have? We're not going to predict who Cody has at ringside with him, but we just need at least...
See, I think that's going to play into the finish.
Mm. So who do you got?
Don't know.
This one's tough.
Yeah. Cody's lost his last two matches. He lost the tag match. And he went to a no contest with Darby Allin. What was his match before that?
Dustin. He beat Dustin.
Won that one.
Yeah, so he's won 1-1.
Whereas Sean Spears is 1-0.
Yeah, he won the 6-man tag.
Well, he was in the Battle Royal, so he's 1-0.
No, he's 1-0. Yeah. If, of course, you count Battle Royals.
Win's a win.
Yeah.
Right, just because I want to see it happen so fucking bad. I've got two things I want to kind of two ways my brain is going.
Okay.
Right. The first is that Sean Spears and Cody have a really nice long match. And then Sean Spears and Tully want to pull some horsemanship, so they just hit Cody with a chair and get disqualified, but they beat the shit out of him after the match. Right?
Yep.
The other thing I kind of want to see is MJF in Cody's corner, but have him turn on Cody.
Ooh.
And join Tully and Sean.
That would be it. That would actually be some very interesting storytelling right there.
Mm.
But the problem is that you have a month of nothing until you hit AEW on
TV. You've got TV, you've got YouTube, and they do a very good job.
That is very true. That is very true. They do a very good job with that. So who you got?
Either way, I think... Cool.
Either way, you think...
Cruz... This is the hardest one on the card to predict.
I'm going with Cody Spears. Wait, that's not right.
Sean Rhodes.
I'm going with Sean Spears. I think Sean will pick up the victory. Actually,
I think Sean Spears wins. Honestly. I think it's necessary to finally get him away from that a good hand. Because if he loses, he is just that a good hand. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and that's been the whole storyline.
Yeah.
So, next up, you have the ladder match for the AAA tag team titles, Pentagon and Phoenix versus the Young Bucks. I don't give a shit.
Me either.
This is the third time we're getting this.
This is the third time in four
events
that the Young Bucks have wrestled the Lucha Brothers in some form.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm doing don't care because I don't. Should I do the same for you?
I'm going to go with my bladder because that's when I'll be taking my piss break.
All right. Kenny Omega versus John Moxley.
If this match even happens.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true because of the elbow injury.
Moxley's got an elbow injury.
Yeah. So, I am actually going to go with Moxley if the match does happen. Kind of keep Kenny Omega on that little downward spiral in singles matches that he's been having outside of the Shima match.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Moxley?
Yeah.
Okay. If the match happens.
There's no stakes here.
Yeah.
They're not even wrestling for, a title shot.
So, and then the final matchup on the card is for the AEW World Championship, which is currently held by Vacant.
Most prolific champion of all time.
Yes. Chris Jericho versus Hangman Adam Page. I'm going Jericho. I see what you're saying earlier on the show about how Hangman Page isn't being advertised for the first AEW on TNT yet. And you're talking about the AEW world title being possibly being defended or should be. I see that, but at the same time, I think it's Jericho.
Right, there's two ways to look at this. Hangman Page should win this match. But do they want an ex-WWE guy walking into their first television show as champion opposite NXT?
Yeah. I mean, it's also tough because when you also look at it, it's also a namesake thing.
Yeah.
When you're going on the TNT and you see that Chris Jericho is the champion, that's going to bring more brand name.
But I would argue that at this point in their career, Hangman Page is the better wrestler.
Oh, I'm not doubting that.
At least he's got a finishing move that isn't not so effective.
Oh no, I'm not doubting that one bit. But I mean,
I don't know. I think my winner for this one's going to be Adam Cole.
So Adam Page, gotcha.
Yeah, I'll pick Adam Page. I'm going to pick this one with my heart rather than my head.
Yeah. I like how you went with Adam Cole, and I just went, Adam Page, gotcha.
Adam Cole, baby.
So, yeah. Whew. Holy shit, we've been going for a while.
Yeah,
this is why we didn't do fantasy booking.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to bring this up because normally we would do fantasy booking.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring it up here on the show with you for our listeners and say, how do we feel about mixing it up from time to time so we're not doing fantasy booking on every episode? Maybe we do like a review of an old school pay-per-view.
You just don't want to get your ass kicked every week.
Why don't we review a movie that a WWE superstar...
Let's be fair, right? If we're going to review a movie that a WWE superstar's been in, we're just going to be saying the word shit a lot. I'm more than happy to do like certain wrestling matches.
Yeah.
Right? But we won't be able to do like entire cards, just certain matches.
Yeah. And that's fine. But it mixes it up a little bit.
You're just tired of getting your ass kicked every week, aren't
you? I'm also tired of constantly trying to think of a fantasy booking ideas because I can't think.
Tired of getting your ass kicked. Just to fucking admit it. Just fucking admit it, Mike.
I admit it. I am tired of getting my ass kicked. And I also am tired of trying to constantly come up with ideas for fantasy booking ideas.
You know what you need? I just came up with the perfect thing for you to do your next fantasy booking. You need to book the triumphant return of Eva Marie. Because you are her number one fanboy. Mike shaking his head for the audio listeners.
And it's actually bothering my neck that I'm doing it too. But, you know, that's another story for another day for right now.
Yeah.
So if people have, like, as you said, like classic matches that they want us to talk about, review, let's do it. Yeah, let us know.
I'm going to continue kicking Mike's ass in fantasy booking every week until he gets good.
I'm not going to get good. Although you got to admit, although you have to admit that promo that I sent you, that I wrote,
it was all right.
It wasn't all right. Although keep in mind, that was me rewriting a promo that I wrote.
It was better than some things I've seen. Let's put it that way.
Let's put it like this. That promo that I wrote, and that's not the full promo, because obviously I had it more fleshed out when I wrote it like 2-3 years ago. The only reason that promo never got used was because somebody before me posted in the little group chat thing where the idea was to bury the tag team titles, which is, as a promotion, you don't want to do. You don't want to bury your own championships.
Yeah.
So, and I ended up posting like...
But still, I can write promos too, Mike.
Yeah.
You gotta, if you're doing fantasy booking, you gotta think about the whole...
picture.
Yeah. That's not to say we're going to stop doing fantasy booking because I don't want to.
No.
I am going to make Mike think of some for, because he's been avoiding fantasy booking for like 3 episodes now. So the next episode we're doing fantasy booking and you're coming up with the scenario.
Okay.
Don't give me the finger all you like, mate. It is your turn.
Yeah, I know. Also, with WWE 2K20 coming out in October, we can also do our own version of Battle of the Brands.
Yeah, we can do an online draft.
And do a Battle of the Brands and stuff like that. So there's other stuff that we can do.
We've also been considering doing a 3-branch fantasy draft with our good friend Jordan.
Yep.
For an episode. We do like news and notes and then go straight into the fantasy draft. There would be some... what'd you call it?
Rules.
Some rules and some special stipulations. We did one at Wilkes Comic Con where we had to draft from outside. We got the opportunity to draft from outside the WWE. And we were able to draft stables as complete. So I drafted the entire Elite, which might be the most value draft pick in the history of ever. And then I drafted the Undisputed Era. So I was like, I'm done.
Jordan and I looked at each other. We just went like, shit, why didn't we think of that real quick? Because like the Elite fell very far in the draft.
Well, no. Originally, what happened is we were only supposed to do two picks from outside the WWE.
And I wanted to do a third pick.
No. And we were like, right, Jordan and I each get one additional pick from outside the WWE. And Jordan picked someone, and then I went, I have the entirety of the Elite. So I'll have Marty Scurll, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and SCU for one draft pick. Ding! Thumbs up.
Oh, and Stephen Amell.
Oh, and Stephen Amell, right, yeah.
Which, by the way, congratulations to Stephen Amell on landing the role for Heels on Stars, I believe.
Yep.
Stars does really good shows.
Yeah, they do.
Holy shit, they do.
Anyway, let's wrap up and get off here.
Yeah.
Go get food.
So, before we go into social media, I do want to do one quick shout-out.
Yep.
I want to do a shout-out to the winner, Andy Weinberg, and comic writer John Crowther. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know this, but there is a Nikolai Volkoff Legends 3-issue run. Mm-hmm. I have issues 1 and 3, but my comic book shop never got 2. Because thanks to Andy and John, I'm finally getting my issue number 2 so I can read the series. Nice. And they're also hooking me up with the Rocky Johnson one that's starting up in October. So I just want to do a little shout out for that. So Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Find me at Bob T. Goldfish on the Twitters. Find the channel at 321 Podcast. You can find the channel on Facebook at 3 Topics 2 Guys 1 Podcast. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv. 321_TV, where we're going to be launching into some gameplay here soon. So,
yeah. And then you can find me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And of course, everything else on txhthockey.com/awesomemania.
Before we sign off, there was a post on Becky Lynch's Instagram an hour ago. It was a picture of her and Seth Rollins on a beach saying, "The happiest day of my life for the rest of my life," with 2 little heart emojis and a ring. So I don't know whether that means they're engaged or whatever, but if they are, congratulations.
Yep. And also,
the best male wrestler in the company, the other Seth Rollins.
And also, this has just popped up on my screen real quick. Don't get your hopes up on CM Punk hosting WWE's FS1 show. But even though his agent reached out, I don't think either party wants to do it. So right here, wrestlinginc.com, where I have the card for All Out. It's a little trending thing. It says CM Punk agent. Apparently, CM Punk and the WWE use the same agency.
Yeah, I'd seen the thing about one of them reaching out. I'd not seen the thing about them basically turning them down. So,
so it's Punk's agent acting on his own, trying to do it. Mm. But Punk is not. I wouldn't be surprised if Punk is not interested. And obviously, the WWE probably would be.
That is one thing I want to talk about. Since you're talking about commentators, I didn't say this in the news. And
Golden Boy
tweeted a gift today of someone signing a contract, saying it's official, and everyone is hoping that is him being made an official AEW commentator.
Yes.
Fuck me, Golden Boy.
See, Golden Boy with JR and Excalibur, that works.
Mm.
That works. And I'm okay with that. So, but no, he definitely deserves it. I enjoyed his work at Fyter Fest. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Ben, what does your favorite president always say?
In the words of the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other and party on, non-gender specific honorific.
And with that, next time we'll see you at ringside.